Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou hast sent Him into the world to call us to Thyself, that we human beings on earth should have the privilege of having fellowship with God. We pray Thee now, our Father, as we study Thy Word, that Thou wilt, by Thy Holy Spirit, take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. We come now in our study of the Gospel according to Matthew to chapter 25. And this chapter is easy to read and very important in its bearing, because in it we have a record of three parables which our Lord Jesus Christ told, all of which have to do with His coming again. And they indicate various aspects of this truth. Now the first one we have in the first 13 verses, in chapter 25, Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. And if you will open your Bibles and follow, you'll be able to get that much more out of it. And if you do not have a Bible there, I will read and comment on this portion of Scripture. This is the well-known parable, what we commonly call the Ten Virgins. And I suppose almost any child knows about it. They know about the ten virgins and how there were five wise and five foolish, five who were ready and five who weren't ready, and they were waiting for the bridegroom, and the bridegroom came, and the five who were ready were fortunate, and the five who were not ready were not fortunate, and this He is telling us to be ready for Him. That's the meaning of it, and we could leave it right there. But I want to go through it verse by verse and word by word, that it might sink into our hearts. You see, the whole point in this parable of the ten virgins, the great big thing in here is, He is coming. Now, if you don't have that in mind, you'll miss the point in the parable. You can understand the parable, but you'll miss the point in it. The big thing is, He is coming. And with that, there is the fact, nobody knows when. And then there is this too, sooner than you think. Now that you can put together. The full meaning of that I can't adequately and fully interpret to you, and I think perhaps that the Lord has kept that for Himself. What that's going to mean to you, I think He'll bring in. I intimated to you once before, and I want to say again now, I have no objection to you thinking that this means that He is coming at the end of the world and coming sooner than you think. That'll be all right. You can think that. You can think that so far as this whole world is concerned, He could end it any time. Think that if you want to. I think the parable will bear it out, although I don't think that exhausts the full meaning of the parable. Now, on the other hand, you could think with reference to this that this refers to the Lord coming into your life, that He is coming to take over in your life, and that He is coming to you. And then this would be saying to you, He'll come to you when you would least expect Him, and sooner than you think, meaning to say He could come to you any time, and that every single day you live, He's actually standing at the door, right there by you, knocking, wanting you to open up and let Him come in. You could think of it that way. You could think of it from the point of view, as some people have, that the coming of the Lord has something to do with the end of your life, in the sense that you come into His presence, and in that sense He comes to you. I'm not offering you as that is the only idea. I'm only telling you that that idea will fit here too. I'm only suggesting to you now that you might include that in your thinking. Because so far as my life is concerned, you know, it's going to wind up the day I draw my last breath. So far as my life in this world is concerned, and there is a certain sense in which that could be understood as Him coming for me. You'll remember He said, in speaking to His disciples, you'll recall when He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, that you can interpret with His coming to the at the end of the world, that you can interpret with His coming on the day that you die. Now, I'm not saying they both mean exactly the same thing, nor am I saying that either one is the only way to see it. I think both are true. And like so many other portions of Scripture, the Scripture is oftentimes so given to you that it has an immediate truth, It has a general truth. It has an ultimate truth. It can be interpreted as happening now. It can, in this moment, or this day, in an immediate sense. It can be interpreted as happening again and again and again and again. And it can be interpreted as happening in a final, completed sense. And I think they're all true. And many times a passage of Scripture will be so written and so stated that it'll fit each one of those places. And now I want to say to you, only the Holy Spirit will know how you're to have it. I'm going to set it out the way it is in the parable, but the Holy Spirit will suit it to you. But one thing I know for me, He's coming, and He's coming to me. He is coming for me, and He's coming for me sooner than I think. In other words, I could very easily think He's going to come later, tomorrow, the next day, not now. I'd be wrong all the way along the line. You and I are always in the presence of God. So now let us read this parable. This is chapter 25, and we'll begin at the first verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. This would represent a situation where in a city where the streets weren't lighted, and when anyone was coming on a gala occasion, such as a bridal ceremony, people would go out and meet him with torches, and they would light up the pathway, and they would in general celebrate with all their extra lights and so on. They'd celebrate the coming of the bridegroom. 5 of these virgins were wise, 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish, and then it'll tell us how this was. Though they that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. I could pause there for a moment. That's foolish. They took their lamps and took no oil with them. You know what that means. They didn't expect to light them. They didn't expect to burn them. Is it possible that I sometimes take the Bible with me to church, but I don't expect to get anything out of it? Is it possible that I go to church sometimes and sit in the pew? I don't really expect to get anything from God. Is it possible that I go to prayer? I go to prayer because it's the time to pray. We always pray at that time. So we pray at that time this time. And mind you, that's good. I'm not saying anything against it. I'm now just talking about the condition under which I could be foolish. That would be to get on my knees before God and go through with my prayer as if it were a routine thing. Oh, what a foolish way to do. Why not talk to God? He's right there. Why not bring to Him the thing that I have in heart and mind? Why not expect Him to hear what I have to say? He is right there, and I could if I would. Now, it's foolish to take the lamps. Looks as though you were going already, but no oil. You don't really intend to do it. The wise took oil in the vessels of their lamps, with their lamps. They went prepared to act. They expected to do something. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now I want you to notice, they all were expecting him to come. They all had lamps, and they all went to see him. Now this is not telling about comparing people who believe with unbelievers out in the world. This is comparing people who believe with people who believe. This is comparing Christian with Christian. This is saying that in a group of 10 Christians, our Lord just divides it in the middle. And he says there are 50 wise and 5 wise and 5 foolish. Got 100 church members, 50 wise and 50 foolish. Got 200 church members, 100 wise, 100 foolish. Doesn't work out perfectly that way. But for the sake of the discussion, for the sake of the truth, let's just put it that way. Some are, some aren't. And here he is saying, some are wise, some are foolish. Now notice, they all expected the Lord to come, the bridegroom to come. They all had lamps. And while he tarried, they all slumbered and slept. You couldn't tell the difference between them. And we could say that amongst us. As long as no real issue comes up in life, as long as our ordinary work of the day, we get up in the morning, we prepare breakfast, we go to work, we handle our work, we do the things of the day, whatever they are, we drive our car, we find our way through traffic, we find a parking place. As long as those things are so, You could say that spiritually we slumber and sleep. We're all expecting him, but for the time being he's not here. And at midnight, which is at a time when you probably would not expect it really, the cry was made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Something happens, as it were, to suddenly bring the focus and attention upon the person of the Lord. He's here. Then all those virgins arose. Again, see, they all rose and they all trimmed the lamps. All acted alike. And now the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." That was the foolish part. They wanted to get in on the faith of the other people. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. Go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." So just for a moment, let me be very sober and serious with you. When it comes to personal obedience to the Lord, buy for yourself. Now listen, the good people in your house can't do it for you. The good members of your family can't live it for you. The faithful, believing members of your congregation cannot serve the Lord for you. When it comes to your personal letting your light shine, lighting your lamp, you having oil so that your lamp will burn, that's your business. This is one way in which the Scriptures, well, the Scriptures say, "Cast your burden on the Lord, for he careth for you." And they say that, "Bear ye one another's burdens." They also say, "Every man shall bear his own burden." Buy for yourselves. And when they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. They that were ready went in with him, and the door was shut. And you'll remember, he didn't open it. Our God and Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. Incline us to follow closely to thee. And above everything, our Father, help us not to be negligent about spiritual things. If we know anything, help us to yield and to do it. And if we have any inward leading toward thee, put it into our hearts to act and to follow after thee. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.